WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. The United Nations has condemned violent attacks by Hamas that have resulted in hundreds of deaths, rapes, and kidnappings. But officials say they are deeply distressed now over Israel's vow to lay siege of the Gaza Strip. Secretary General Antonio Guterres.
I recognize the legitimate grievances of the Palestinian people. But nothing can justify these acts of terror and the killing, maiming, and abduction of civilians.
Here at home, a Brandeis University professor is mourning the loss of his daughter and son-in-law, WBZ-TV's Laura Haefeli.
My grandson has witnessed the murder of his mother.
50-year-old Deborah Matias and her husband Shlomo were killed by members of Hamas militant groups during Saturday's attacks in Israel.
The terrorists came into their place, broke through the doors, shot them.
Americans are also hostages. CBS's Cammie McCormick.
A State Department spokesman says 9 U.S. citizens are among the dead. He says the U.S. has also confirmed there are unaccounted for Americans, and officials are working with Israel to determine their whereabouts. The focus is now shifting to hostages as well. The administration does expect there may well be Americans among them and will offer support and expertise on how to address the situation.
In Washington, Republicans will meet soon to pick a new House Speaker, but CBS's Nicole Killian says Kevin McCarthy's open to reclaiming it now that dynamics have shifted over the violence.
Some Republicans have been calling for McCarthy to be reinstated in light of this crisis. He was asked about that, whether he would be willing to step back into the role. He said it's up to the Republican conference.
Looking ahead to 2024, Robert Kennedy's switching things up.
I'm here to declare myself an independent candidate.
Kennedy is a member of one of the most famous Democratic families in politics, though his bid was considered a long shot. More auto workers are on strike.
4,000 UAW members walked off the job from Mack Trucks plants in Pennsylvania, Maryland, and Florida after voting down a 5-year contract agreement that union negotiators reached with the company. The deal included a 19% pay raise over 5 years, including 10% upon ratification.
That's CBS's Jason Brooks. Your mail's getting pricier.
The U.S. Postal Service wants to boost the cost of postage in January from 66 to 68 cents. It would be the 5th rate increase since 2021 and come on the heels of a July postage hike.
That's CBS's Matt Piper. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. A 41-year-old Rusk County man was arrested after a multi-county chase Friday night. The Marathon County Sheriff's Department says they got a call just before 9 from a person driving northbound on US 51 near Maine, where the driver said they and their vehicle had been shot. The suspect, Benny Green of Tony, fled from sheriff's deputies and drove back into Marathon County, where the Wausau Police Department tried to use spike strips to deflate his tires. A Lincoln County Sheriff's deputy ended the chase when they rammed Green's car with their cruiser in Wausau. Xcel Energy is planning a $500 million transmission line project through western Wisconsin, planning to start the line in Trumbull County and connecting it with existing transmission lines in Clark County and Rusk County. The timeline for the project is not set, but Xcel Energy doesn't plan to submit an application with the Public Service Commission until at least next summer. The company will also hold open houses from today through Thursday for residents to learn about the project. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the 2 oldest sanction lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just $2.25. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
You can't impeach someone before they've committed an alleged crime. Even principled conservatives are going to look at that action and say, come on, what's going on?
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Dan Knoedl, Republican of Germantown, said he was moving forward to uphold his quote-unquote constitutional duty, which is a joke.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3.
Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Albaugh Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. It's what's on tap for the Chippewa Valley.
93.5.
The Tap.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're going right to the show, history in the making. And let me tell you the major story, the only story right now, in my opinion, the attack on Israel, Hamas, a terror group, at 6:30 a.m. Saturday morning, their local time, attacked Israel, came out of Gaza, came by sea, came on drones, over the wall, came through the supposed wall to murder civilians. There are 260 kids at a music festival who were butchered. More than 1,000 Israelis have been killed so far, which is the equivalent of 40,000 Americans, given the disparity in population. About 100, probably more, kidnapped and being held hostage. These victims who were killed and kidnapped were sexually assaulted. They were women, children, grandparents. Some were just shot at close range or in bus stops. They went into homes. They killed or kidnapped entire families. There was a woman who was a Holocaust survivor in a wheelchair, and she was kidnapped, dragged through the street. One of the most awful things I saw, Hamas is essentially like ISIS. In fact, it's just as bad or worse. There's a beautiful girl named Shoni Lauk, L-O-U-K, and they kidnapped her, raped her, and then they drove her through Gaza on the back of a pickup truck with her legs spread so wide they clearly had to have broken her bones. Split her in two, really. And they spit on the body as she went through the street. These are animals. Now, let me tell you something. ISIS did the same thing to Christians in Iraq. Iraq had a large Christian community, many hundreds of thousands, and they were all murdered or driven out by ISIS, by jihad, their kind of jihad. In Africa, ISIS and Al-Qaeda and Al-Shabaab murder Christians. In Nigeria, about a year ago, a girl who is a Nigerian Christian posted on social media, quote, Jesus Christ helped me pass my exams, and thanked Christ. She was beaten to death by a Muslim mob for insulting Islam, supposedly. Turkey, 100 years ago, 1915 on, genocided about 2 million Armenians, crucified some of them to mock their faith. The kids were starving, the Armenian kids. The Turks would dangle on a string or a pole pieces of bread so they could jump up for it and never get it. We're going to talk about history right now. I'm damn tired of hearing a lot of commentators talk about, well, this is all because of the Palestinians. This is because of the disparity in power or wealth. I headline every show by saying, you're not woke if you don't know history. Well, we're going to get real woke because we are going to get real historical. This has been going on for 1,400 years. Islam was founded around 610, 614. By the end of the century, before the end of the 7th century, they'd invaded and occupied the Iberian Peninsula, Spain and Portugal. In 732, they decided to occupy France, but they made a mistake. They went up against Charlemagne's grandfather, Charles Martel, Charles the Hammer, you've heard of him. And the Battle of Tours-Poitiers, he beat them. Otherwise, France would be an Islamic country right now. They occupied Spain until the 1400s, for about 700 years. People complain about the Crusades. The Crusaders did some very bad things and killed a lot of people along the way. But people forget that then when they went to the Holy Land to beat the Muslims, Muslims had already occupied much of Europe for 700 years. Jihadists occupied Greece, they occupied the Balkans. It started out as Arabs in Saudi Arabia. The control turned to the Ottoman Empire, the Turkic people. They're not Arabs. Some of them have blonde hair. They're Turkic people. The Ottoman Empire. They would go into the Balkans, Serbia, Bulgaria, kidnap 10-year-old boys, bring them to Istanbul, force them to convert, send them back to Bulgaria and Serbia when they were grown men to murder their relatives. They call them Janissaries. This has been going on a long, long time. Finally, in the 20th century, after World War I, the Allies finally broke up the Ottoman Empire and they divided it into various countries. But the urge, the cultural urge of jihad has existed for 1,400 years and it continues to exist. Israel is 9 million people. There are 1 billion and a half Muslims in the world. And there is almost cultural unanimity in opposing Israel and wanting its destruction. There are many good Muslims, and many of them are friends of mine. But the fact of the matter is that in any society where if it became an Islamic culture, my friends would get murdered because they're reasonable people. Now, what do we do about this? People say, well, it's all about the Palestinians. It's all about disparate wealth or disparate power. That's baloney. For most of the 1,400 years that I discussed, the wealth and the power was in the Ottoman Empire. It was not in Christian Europe. This attack by Hamas, identical to the attacks by ISIS elsewhere, is an attack on the West. It's an attack on Christianity, Judaism, Judeo-Christianity. It's an attack on our culture. The Russian attack on Ukraine was also an attack on the enlightened West, but Russia had originally fancied itself as part of the West. They're desperate to want to be considered as Europeans. Putin is a genocidal sadist, has to be killed. Russia has proven that it can no longer function as a normal country. But this in particular, what happened over the weekend, and right now, by the way, there was fighting and kidnapping even yesterday, and this morning there are still jihadist terrorists in Israel. They're being killed one by one. But the sadism of these jihadists in the kidnappings and the way they treat women and children, especially torture children and then kill them. I have a buddy, he's actually a barber, and he's a guy who cuts my hair. He's an army vet, good guy. Told me that when he was deployed, in the Middle East, and one time they were in Egypt. A bunch of the guys in his unit decide, well, we're going to go out to a nightclub. They go out to a nightclub, and there are women in the nightclub. They're all guys, and they're all dancing with each other. Why are they dancing with each other? They're not gay. It's just that women are so segregated, so mistreated. And when they get a woman, they frequently rape her. Let me tell you about Iran, because we're going to talk about that on this show. Iran, remember they killed that one woman, beat her to death in a police station because she didn't have her hijab on right. Well, the other day, there was a 16-year-old girl on a subway car. She gets on the car. She didn't have a hijab. She's beautiful. They finally take her dead body off the train because she was beaten and raped right on the train. You must understand something. This is partly religious. It's partly racial. The two girls in Iran who were murdered were Kurdish. They're not Iranian. That doesn't mean anything to you, but the fact of the matter is that it's a different race and they're fair game. What happens with ISIS when they went into Iraq to murder Christians, it was a different tribe. It was acceptable. What's happening in Africa is the same thing. What's happening with Hamas by attacking Israelis, it's the same thing. So what do we do from here? We have to stand absolutely firmly with Israel. People say, well, Matt, you know, why can't we make peace, blah, blah. You must understand that Israel, over the last 40 years, on many occasions, has offered to make peace with the Palestinians, Saudi Arabia, everybody else. All they ask, they offer 99% of what the other party wants, the land, everything else, is just recognize our right to exist, recognize us as human beings. And not a single Arab state has done that. Not a single Islamic state has done that. Yasser Arafat didn't do it. The Palestinians didn't do it. The reason that Yasser Arafat didn't do it and the Palestinians don't do it is because whatever leader agrees to that, just says, I recognize you, will be assassinated by jihadists. This instinct of jihad, remember, Islam means submission. Jihad means struggle. Everybody of any station in life has what he regards as a divine right to kill anybody who's an apostate. He is judge, executioner, and appellate court. And no Islamic leader, and there are several who are quite reasonable, no Islamic leader dares recognize Israel. They come with hate in their hearts. The average person, not all the leaders, but the average person with hate in their hearts. We're going to talk about this a lot more. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of
of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny with highs in the low 50s. Partly cloudy tonight, lows around 37. Some frost possible. Partly sunny and 55 on Tuesday. For Wednesday, mostly sunny, a high around 57. Thursday, some rain with a high around 55. It will be windy.
Right now, it's 55.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Hey.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. The lines are alive. I'll take you in order. Do not hang up. We're going to start with Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend. Thanks for calling, Bill.
Thanks, man. Say, I got to touch on 3 points. First point is, everybody call Tom Tiffany and Scott Fitzgerald and tell them that they're voting for Jim Shorts Jordan for speaker. They're siding with domestic terrorism.
Right.
Second of all, with Israel, already the far-right extremists are dumping this in Biden's lap like it's his problem. That's absolutely siding with the enemy. You're either part of the problem or part of the solution. And last but not least, Matt, I'll hang up, but I want you to tell me, I had heard that Netanyahu is equal to Israel's answer for Trump. What do you think? I'll hang up.
Yeah, well, I think there's a couple of things, and then I'll go to the next caller. First of all, Tiffany and Fitzgerald essentially betray the United States regularly. One little piece of news that I will leak right now. Some of you may have seen it, and we'll talk about it later in the show. This increasing sentiment for Kevin McCarthy, believe it or not, even though they nabbed them before, Kevin McCarthy to run again. And the reason for that is Scalise, remember, he's the number two guy in the House, once described himself as David Duke without the baggage. And, you know, frankly, Jim Jordan should be a criminal defendant along with Trump. He was the major congressional architect of the coup. So you can't have either one of those. But number two, on Netanyahu, a couple of things. He put together a cabinet, and there's a couple of real right-wing extremists in that cabinet. But when we're facing war, Israel's facing war, they're our ally. This is a war against Western culture. This is a war against our culture, America's culture. We have instituted the separation of church and state and no established religion as a result of the Enlightenment, as a result of the wisdom of our founding fathers. But the fact of the matter is that the basic culture of the United States is Judeo-Christian, and I want it to stay that way. This is an attack that goes back to the 7th century. We should never forget that. So I have no idea about Netanyahu as opposed to Trump. Trump, I do know, and Trump is a criminal. We don't want him. Netanyahu is right now the prime minister of Israel, and they're at war, and we're with them, period. End of story. Next one up, Dave of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Dave?
That was an excellent historical rendition. I mean, the depth of your understanding is incredible. It's very, very, very impressive. And you mentioned the history of the Palestinians also, that people are telling you all kinds of things. You know, in 2005, the Israelis uprooted all their settlements. They expelled their own citizens from Gaza. They withdrew from Gaza. And that was a significant part of the territories. I think it was at least 5%. And 5 months later, the Palestinians had an election, and they elected a ISIS-type organization, and you've identified that organization. It's Hamas. And then they took over the Gaza Strip, and you get this. And that's why it's such a hard, hard sell to ask the Israelis to withdraw from the West Bank. Can you imagine, if we throw a Jew from the West Bank, can you imagine what would happen? 10 times this, 20 times this, 30 times this? They wouldn't have any strategic depth. Here they had some because it was started in the south away from, you know, major population centers. But it would be an absolute catastrophe if that happened. And also, by the way, I like you adjusting for population. I got 26,000, you got 40,000. I guess it is closer to 40,000 now that I just heard 900 Israelis have died. I mean, it's a horrible situation, and it's very hard to believe that Iran doesn't have their fingerprints all over this. You know, because of the fog of war, it's too early to tell, but that's something I definitely watch.
I think, thanks for the call, Dave. I think Iran is part of it. The Wall Street Journal said that today. Some people say no. The people that are saying no don't want to admit it, publicly say it, because then they'd have to bomb Iran. I personally think we are going to have to bomb Iran. And the only question is under what circumstances, so as not to draw Russia into it and not to draw China closer to Taiwan and all that. But the Iranians are Shiites. Muslims are only 10% Shiite in the whole world. The Sunnis are 90%. Saudi Arabia is Sunni. It hates Iran. They hate each other. Saudi Arabia, every once in a while, just grabs a Shiite cleric and executes him for the hell of it. This is a sick bunch of people, very sick. Iran is part of this. It was part of the planning. They're trying to build a nuclear weapon. They're very close, and they're supplying drones to Russia to murder people in Ukraine. And I'm tired of it. I'm goddamn tired of it. And we're going to talk in an upcoming segment about the way that that could work where they do get bombed. Andrew of Detroit, my friend, you're next. What's in your mind, Andrew?
Hey, Matt, I've got to agree with you and Dave that Iran has its fingerprints all over this. And I'll go a step further and say Russia does. And I'll say that Donald Trump also. Remember him with the Russians in the White House soon after his inauguration? We don't know what information he gave Russia about Israel's defenses, whatever. We don't know if he's still doing it, because no one will throw his ass into prison to stop him. But also, Netanyahu is Donald Trump of Israel. And what Netanyahu has been doing recently to the citizens of Gaza is appalling. And from what I've heard today, he has now shut off the electricity, shut off the gas, shut off the water. They are living in an open-air prison in Gaza. You treat people like that, they're going to fight that. Matt, I know you're probably not going to agree with that, and we'll have to agree to disagree.
Okay. Thanks for calling, Andrew.